This is the one-stop FPL podcast. Hello and welcome back to another episode of One Stop FPL with me, your host, Andy Johnson. On today's episode, we're taking a look at game week 6. Now, I'm recording on the eve of the deadline, which is tomorrow, Saturday, the 28th of September at 11 a.m. UK time. Many managers out there will be tinkering on those wildcards that have been activated. So I'm going to do a speedy run through a wildcard draft, which will include some absolute essentials, accompanied by a couple of differentials that could surprise a few. So with the deadline fast approaching, let's get into it. Right then, game week 6 is almost upon us. The deadline is Saturday the 28th of September at 11 a.m. UK time. And there are some pretty interesting fixtures on the horizon. So the early kickoff is Manchester City away at Newcastle. A Newcastle side that have been underwhelming so far, and I fully expect the likes of Erling Haaland to take full advantage of his fantastic form in that early kickoff on Saturday. And then at 3 o'clock, we've got Arsenal at home to Leicester, which is a fantastic fixture on paper, not just for that Arsenal defence, which has been pretty solid so far. And I think we were all surprised to see, even though it was against Manchester City, Arsenal conceding twice. That will not be expected at home against Leicester City. So I think a good game for Arsenal defence on paper and also one for attack. Now, with a lot of people hitting the wildcard button in game week 6, there has been a lot of talk saying that the double Arsenal defence is the way to go. If you want to be slightly more aggressive, then you could go with a double Arsenal attack, especially with the next two fixtures against promoted sides. They've got Leicester in game week 6, and they've got Southampton in game week 7, and both are at home for the Gunners. So a good run of fixtures in the short term, I think, not just for the defence, but also for the attack. So bear that in mind. A couple of other interesting fixtures of note in game week 6. We've got Liverpool away at Wolves. Wolves, a team that have really struggled in the opening weeks, although I think, to be fair to them, they've had a really tricky run of fixtures. I think the first five for Wolves have been Arsenal, Chelsea, Forest, who have been surprisingly solid defensively in these opening five game weeks, Newcastle and Villa, who have been in fantastic form. So Wolves, to be fair to them, have not had an easy run. It doesn't get any easier in game week 6 having to face Liverpool. I do think that that's a great opportunity for that Liverpool attack to continue their goal scoring form. That slight blip in game week 4 with the loss at home to Forest was firmly put behind them as they comfortably swept aside Bournemouth with a 3-0 home victory. Elsewhere in game week 6, there are some intriguing ties for a couple of away sides. So Crystal Palace and Aston Villa, both away this week. Crystal Palace face Everton, who themselves have not had an easy start to the season. And the thing is, Everton have looked good going forward, but the problem is they haven't been able to protect the leads. In fact, the last couple of weeks have seen them throw away 2-goal leads with 3-2 defeats. And Aston Villa are away at promoted Ipswich, so another one for Aston Villa attackers. So Ollie Watkins and Morgan Rodgers both look appealing FPL picks for game week 6. It's also going to be interesting to see how Manchester United Spurs plays out, with Spurs creating lots and lots of chances. They look back to their attacking best against Brentford in game week 5 with a 3-1 victory. And Manchester United have played games fairly open this season, with the exception of the draw against Crystal Palace last week. I can't see Tottenham's visit this Sunday being anywhere near as cagey as that game against Crystal Palace. I think there'll be chances for both sides, and I would be not at all surprised with a high score draw in that one. So a good fixture for attacking players from both Manchester United and Spurs. Right then, I did say that I've put together a wildcard draft, which is a mix of both essentials and a couple of differential picks as well. So I'm going to run through that now, and then I can talk through a couple of the surprising inclusions if you deem them to be that way. So first up, I have gone with Flecken and Sells as the two goalkeeping selections. Now, the main reason I've gone for those is because they both rotate quite well. I think Brentford have a quite nice fixture swing now. They've got a couple of home games in both 6 and 7, West Ham and Wolves, which looks quite appealing for the Brentford goalkeeper. Whilst Sells at Nottingham Forest has been very impressive in a pretty solid looking defensive outfit at Nottingham Forest. They too have a pretty kind fixture run. In 6, they've got Fulham at home. Now, a tricky game in 7 away at Chelsea means that you would definitely select Flecken there. But then after that, you could really have your pick as to which defence you feel has the best chance of a clean sheet between Forest and Brentford. From 8, 9 and 10 for Nottingham Forest, Sells has Palace at home, Leicester away, West Ham at home. So not bad fixtures at all. And I quite like the rotation there between those two 4.5 mil goalkeepers. Then in defence, there are a couple of absolute staples, and I think these two are non-negotiables, and that is Trent Alexander-Arnold and Gabriel. Now, the best thing about these two is that they're both likely to be 90-minute men for both Liverpool and Arsenal, respectively. You've also got really strong attacking threat simultaneously with the best chances for clean sheets. Two teams that have been solid defensively for the most part so far this season. And Trent, obviously, we know the attacking potential he has. And Gabriel seems to have gone from strength to strength when it comes to his aerial threat. So I like those two. I think they will be in most people's wildcards. And I think that when it comes to differentials, I think you can find them elsewhere. These two are, in my mind, non-negotiables on every wildcard. And I think it's fine to do that. I can see the appeal of the double Arsenal defence. Now, a lot of people have been tempted by the double Arsenal defence, and in particular going for Raya in goal, coupled with Gabriel at the back. Now, I don't mind this approach at all. I think it's very, very strong. I think if you are going with Raya, you probably would end up pairing him with a 4 million non-playing goalkeeper just to keep the price down. Now, by doing that, you end up spending 9.5 on goalkeepers as opposed to 9 if you go with two 4.5s, give or take the odd 0.1 based on price moves. So going with the premium goalkeeping option, even with a non-playing goalkeeper on your bench, is more expensive. So it will mean sacrifices elsewhere in your squad. You can, of course, go with Gabriel and Saliba, or maybe Gabriel and Calafiori if you are backing Calafiori to keep those 90 minutes. Now, there has been rumours about some injuries in defence, and we know that there are doubts over Raya's availability for game week 6. So if you really don't want to risk going with that Arsenal double defence, then there's nothing to stop you with just going with Gabriel and then doubling up on the Arsenal attack. There's going to be many people with Saka in their wildcard drafts. Why not partner him with a Havertz or a Martinelli? And we'll come on to my wildcard draft, which does include one of those when it comes to attacking assets at Arsenal. So this wildcard draft just has the single Arsenal defence because of those uncertainties that we are currently concerned by on the eve of the game week 6 deadline. So with that in mind, that does allow slightly more flexibility in who you partner Trent and Gabriel with in your defence. And what you can afford to do is go with several 4.5 options that can rotate, and you don't have to worry about some 4 million bench fodder that just sits on your bench unplayed and unused. So in this draft that I've put together, I've gone with Konsa at Villa, who still has some decent fixtures coming up. This week it's away at Ipswich. And then there are a few tricky fixtures over the next five or six, but the fixtures do look good again from game week 12 onwards. So definitely one to consider. But the good news is you've got other players who you can rotate with. So another one I've got is Leif Davis at Ipswich, who has a fantastic fixture run coming up. Now this week, it's Aston Villa at home. Now, I'd probably pick Konsa ahead of Davis for this week. But after that, there's a nice little run of fixtures for Ipswich. And Davis does have really good attacking threat, a lot of assist potential. Game week 7 to 10 for Ipswich sees them face West Ham, Everton, Brentford and Leicester, which is a really nice run for an attacking defensive pick. And the fifth option is not even another 4 mil, it's another 4.5. In fact, actually, it's a 4.4 million option, and that is Ryan Aitnori at Wolves. Now, a lot of people will just look at the form and pick based on the last few weeks and think they probably won't even look at Ryan Aitnori. They won't even see him featured on the list. But what I will say is Aitnori traditionally has been an incredibly attacking, dangerous fullback for Wolves, who often has ended up playing as a winger out of position. Now, the Wolves fixtures have been really tough, as I mentioned earlier, but don't let that fool you into thinking that Aitnori can't bring you points. The fixtures have been tough. They're not getting any easier for game week 6, but they do get easier after that. In 7, they got Brentford. You would happily bench him in 8 when Wolves face Man City. But after that, from game week 9 onwards, there is an incredible run of fixtures for Wolves. And I can see a lot of people being tempted by Ryan Aitnori. So get in now on the wild card and let him sit on the bench. And don't use him until everyone else suddenly flocks to bring him in from game week 9 when they face Brighton, Palace, Southampton, Fulham, Bournemouth, Everton, West Ham, Ipswich, Leicester. That is an incredible run from game week 9 to 17 where there will be lots of attacking potential for that Wolves side. And I do have faith that Gary O'Neill can turn things around at Wolves. Really good manager, plays good attacking football. And Aitnori did deliver attacking returns and really good attacking threat last season. And I can see that continuing, especially when the fixtures turn for Wolves. So I really like that back five on the wildcard draft of Trent, Alexander-Arnold, Gabriel, and then three rotational options of Konsa, Davis, and Aitnori. Now, what that also allows you to do is go for a pretty strong starting midfield 4, potentially 5, but probably 4, and that would be Saka, Mbeumo, who I think are the two absolute non-negotiables if you're on a wildcard this week. And then the two differentials who are at a reasonable mid price point that I've picked on my wildcard draft are Martinelli for that double Arsenal attack when most are going to go for a double Arsenal defence. And the other one is Savio at Manchester City. Now, Savio has played every minute that's been available to him when he's been fit. So Pep really likes him playing out on that right wing. And one of the reasons why I like Savio is because at the moment, Pep Guardiola is using his wingers to provide that width in attack, not his fullbacks like he was doing towards the end of last season. And that's why the likes of Savio are getting attacking returns and in really good attacking positions. And defenders like Vardiol, who are going through on the overlap last season, are not doing that so much anymore. In fact, pretty much ending up sitting as part of a flat back 4 or back 3. So the attacking returns look to come from the wide attackers and wingers in this Manchester City setup at the moment. So I really like Savio at the moment out wide on the right. The fixtures for Manchester City are great as well. And let's face it, Manchester City attackers should be fairly fixture proof anyway. But on paper, you would say perhaps a slightly tricky fixture away in game week 6 to Newcastle. Although, quite frankly, Newcastle have been pretty poor defensively so far this season. But after that, City face Fulham, Wolves, Southampton, Bournemouth and Brighton over the next 5 weeks after that Newcastle fixture. So a really, really nice run for Manchester City. So I quite like Savio as a really big differential that not many will go for on wildcard. And it's a nice way to double up on that Manchester City attack because, spoiler alert, I have included Haaland in my wildcard draft in attack. Now, the fifth midfield option that I've gone for is the cheap option of Morgan Rodgers, who has been doing really well when it comes to the eye test, but somehow managed to dodge FPL points up until last week when he finally delivered a 10-point return. We did say that it would be coming because the underlying data was fantastic and he's playing so, so well and he's getting 90 minutes every single week. So a really solid fifth midfielder pick there. And in fact, you are probably, if you do go with this lineup of these five, you've got a bit of a benching headache because Rodgers also has Ipswich away in game week 6. And that will be difficult to bench any of the other four that I've mentioned there in Saka, Mbeumo, Martinelli and Savio. Moving on to the attackers. And the three that I've gone with are Erling Haaland, which I don't think will surprise many. I think at this point, he's absolutely essential. And I think that if you are going with Haaland on a wild card, it's very difficult to keep Salah. And it also provides a little bit of a headache when it comes to captaincy. There's something reassuring about just sticking with Haaland for the majority of the time, just to ensure that you aren't going to be punished for a haul that he gets, because it does feel like any week he's capable of scoring a hat trick. Even against that strong Arsenal defence, he still managed to get a return and 3 bonus points. So 9 points against that incredibly strong Arsenal defence just proves that Haaland is absolutely fixture proof. So there aren't going to be many weeks when you don't want to captain him. So I think that by going with Haaland instead of Salah, you get to spread out the cash more across that midfield and you have fewer budget options. Hence why I've got a double Arsenal attack in midfield. You can still afford Mbeumo and a City midfielder. So that sounds pretty strong to me. And then joining Erling Haaland up front, I've gone with two Dominics. That's Dominic Solanke at Spurs and Dominic Calvert-Lewin at Everton. Everton's fixtures, in case you hadn't seen them, are absolutely fantastic. From game week 6 onwards, they've got a really nice run. They've got Palace at home this week, followed by Newcastle at home, which I don't think will be as difficult as the fixture difficulty rating suggests. I think Newcastle have been underwhelming so far and probably slightly fortunate to get the points that they've managed to get so far this season in the Premier League. Then after Newcastle in game week 7, Calvert-Lewin will face an Ipswich defence, a Fulham defence, a Southampton defence, a West Ham defence and a Brentford defence. So a really good run of fixtures there for the Everton front man. So long as he can stay fit, Calvert-Lewin looks like a great pick. And I do think he will be in a lot of wildcards. So not that much of a differential. But his namesake, Dominic Solanke, I don't think will be that popular on the wildcard because I think a lot will go for Haaland, Calvert-Lewin and another cheap forward pick like a Chris Wood, who has been doing pretty well so far in a Forest side that have been doing pretty well so far. So Solanke, I do think, could be a little bit of a differential for people on wild cards. And I think what makes him quite appealing are two reasons, really. One is there is a slight fixture swing for Spurs. Away at Manchester United is not easy. And I don't think away at Brighton will be the easiest of fixtures either, because Brighton have been slightly more defensively solid this season compared to last. But then after that, they've got West Ham at home, Palace away, Villa at home, Ipswich at home. And even after Man City away in game week 12, they've then got Fulham and Bournemouth. So not too bad a run of fixtures. But the real reason why I like Solanke as a pick is because Tottenham have been playing possession-based football for the start of the season, but they haven't been creating a lot of chances until they face that Brentford side where it all seemed to just start clicking. In game week 5, they have the highest XG of any team that have created in 90 minutes so far this season. They created loads of chances, which is exactly the way Ange Postecoglou sets this Spurs side up, which is to create lots of chances and that means that Solanke doesn't even have to be the greatest of finishers to put them away. And that is exactly what ended up happening. He's got 2 in 2 after scoring last week against Brentford. And then after that, he's also scored in midweek against Karabag in the Europa League. So Solanke looks like he's finding his goal scoring form. He's also picked up an assist as well, which I think was really promising. And his link-up play looks really strong as well. So I do like Dominic Solanke as a slight differential for that forward lineup in this wildcard draft. So there you have it. That is my wildcard draft for game week 6. Flecken and Sells, the two goalkeepers. Trent Alexander-Arnold, Gabriel, Konsa, Davis and Aitnori in defence. A midfield 5 of Saka and Mbeumo, Martinelli, Savio and Rodgers. And up front, Haaland, Calvert-Lewin and Dominic Solanke. Right then, before we finish the episode, I will finish up with my likely team ahead of game week 6, as always. And this week, I have not got the luxury of playing a wild card. I actually played mine in game week 4 and rolled over 2 free transfers in that week. Didn't make a transfer in game week 5, so I went into 6 with 3 free transfers. And I actually made those on Sunday night because I saw price moves were very likely, both for players that I wanted to get in who were about to go up in price and a couple of players in my squad that I needed to get rid of who were going down. So out of my squad go Rico Lewis, Jota at Liverpool and Muniz at Fulham. And in come Gabriel at Arsenal, Dwight McNeil at Everton and Dominic Solanke at Spurs. So Gabriel was brought in really off the back of fantastic start to the season, great defensive displays from Arsenal, but also the attacking threat that Gabriel offered. I think when he scored that goal against Manchester City, it just proved how essential Gabriel is looking this season. I really wanted him in, and that meant I had to sell Rico Lewis, who, after seeing him bench for that important game against Arsenal, it just meant I lost a bit of faith in that guy continuing to get 90 minutes. It really did surprise me that he managed to get 4 starts in the first 4 game weeks. But when push came to shove in the big game against Arsenal, Pep decided not to play him. One thing that slightly concerns me is that after I've sold Rico Lewis, we've had it confirmed that Rodri is now out for the season. And I do think Rico Lewis is such a great player at stepping out of that defence into midfield and being a really good creative passer with the ball. And maybe that might be something that Pep looks to get from Rico Lewis in the absence of Rodri. But I just can't be guaranteed of 90 minutes from him. I didn't want to go with Rico Lewis if that meant that there was occasionally going to be weeks where he gets benched. I didn't want to have that headache. So out went Rico Lewis and in came Gabriel. That meant I had to find funds elsewhere and I was happy to sell Jota after he was benched. Now, again, in midweek, we could see that after Jota's performance, he came off early in the cup game after getting his goal as well. And I wouldn't be at all surprised to see Jota start now against Wolves on the weekend. But again, a bit like Rico Lewis, he may well start, but we just can't be guaranteed of those 90 minutes anymore. And Gakpo has been looking very, very promising and could get minutes ahead of Jota. Could be Darwin Nunez who gets minutes ahead of Jota like he was in game week 5. So there are lots of rotation opportunities at Liverpool. And I'm quite happy to keep Salah and lose Jota, who was about to go down in price. And I had to go for a slight downgrade in Dwight McNeil at Everton. But I do think that he will be a very popular pick for many on wildcard who are looking for Everton attacking assets because of the fixture run that Everton have. Now, many will go with Calvert-Lewin, but I quite like Dwight McNeil. He actually has the highest chance creation of any midfielder in the Premier League, actually any player in the Premier League so far this season. And I do think the points will come. He did get a haul of 12 points in game week 4 against Aston Villa with 1 goal and 1 assist. and the fixtures look really promising over the next few weeks. So I like Dwight McNeil. And also going down that much did allow me to upgrade Muniz, who was also dropping in price, having been dropped from Fulham's starting 11, meant I could go up to Dominic Solanke. And I've picked him for the exact same reasons that I mentioned in my wildcard draft picks. I really like the way Spurs are playing. The chance creation was finally coming to fruition against Brentford in game week 5. Solanke with a few chances. His pressing is absolutely fantastic. And the chances that Spurs are creating are really good chances when they win the ball back up high, which is exactly how this Postecoglou side is set up. So I like Solanke. The fixtures aren't too bad. I do think he will get chances this week against Manchester United. So I don't mind that at all. Now, what that has meant is that ultimately my starting 11 has a couple of risks in it, because I'm starting David Raya, having done so in game week 5, trying to be clever by starting the Arsenal man against Manchester City, just thinking it would be low scoring. I don't think any of us expected a 2-2 draw. That Desmond meant that Raya failed to keep the clean sheet or the defensive points that I was hoping he would deliver for me. And finally, Henderson returns when his 9 points are firmly stuck on my bench after 4 blanks in a row. But hopefully that isn't going to be the case this week. Raya will start for me in goal. What could happen is that Raya's doubt, because there are some rumours going around that he's not fit to start this week. Apparently he has been failed to be seen in training in the most recent of reports. So we'll have to see. But because I've still got Henderson, Crystal Palace with an away fixture against Everton is not the worst substitute to come in. But I will be starting Ryan, hoping that Arsenal can keep a clean sheet against Leicester and that Raya features in that game. A back three, I'm starting Gabriel, my new man coming in, and he will be there for the rest of the season, I'm sure. Trent Alexander-Arnold away at Wolves and Konsa away at Ipswich. And on my bench, I've got Robinson and Greaves. Robinson away at Forest, Greaves at home to Villa. I do think that Aston Villa's Konsa has the best chance of those three to get the clean sheet. So Konsa gets the nod. Then in midfield, I've still got Salah and I'm hoping he outscores Saka because I don't have the Arsenal attack. I wanted to keep Salah as a bit of a differential, but I do fear the Arsenal attack. So hopefully Salah does the business away at Wolves. Then I've got Eze away at Everton, who I think has been unlucky not to have got more points so far this season. He's looked really strong. Hopefully, he gets penalties back from Arteta. It's not a guarantee that Mateta has them for the rest of the season. It looks like they're going to be shared. So Eze, I hope you get the next one. And I hope it's this week against Everton. Elsewhere in my midfield, I've got Minté starting against Chelsea away, which is not ideal. I would have rather had João Pedro start ahead of Minté, but that isn't to be because of João Pedro's injury. I've got Rodgers away at Ipswich and Dwight McNeil, my new man, at home to Palace. And a front two of Haaland, who gets the captain's armband away at Newcastle this week, and Dominic Solanke away at Manchester United. As I say, the captain's armband is currently on Erling Haaland, and it does feel like a bit of a risk to take it off him, if I'm being completely honest. Last week, I was marginally punished for doing exactly that. I gave it to Mo Salah, and he just picked up the one assist, meaning a 6-point return was doubled up to 12 points. But Haaland's goal also afforded him 3 bonus points. Which meant his 9-point return would have meant an extra 3 points, which would have meant an extra 6 if I had captained him. So that would have been quite nice, but it wasn't to be. I do feel like I should learn from that lesson, go back to Haaland for the armband. A couple of differential captaincy picks are quite like Eze away at Everton this week. Everton, who have struggled massively defensively in the first 5 weeks. Despite looking pretty decent in attacking areas. What I will say is that the hope is that Everton's defence improves now, because there are 2 players returning to that starting back four from injury, and that is Jarrod Branthwaite and Mikalenko. So that should hopefully improve the prospects of Everton defence. So I think I probably would steer clear of Eze as a differential captaincy shout for that reason. I also don't mind Ollie Watkins as a pick for captaincy away at Ipswich. And I think Arsenal attack is a really good way to go as well. I think you could look at Saka as a really strong captaincy pick at home against Leicester. But also even Martinelli and Havertz are great differential shouts as well. So that's it for this week's episode. Thank you very much to everyone who listens. If you do, please do rate and review the podcast on any of the platforms that you use. It really helps to spread the word and get more people listening to the pod. And you can find me on X at OneStopFPL. Thanks very much for listening. Best of luck to everyone chasing a green arrow for game week 6. And I'll talk to you again soon.